God of life, your spirit raised Jesus from the dead. Your spirit inspired the prophets and writers of scripture. Your spirit draws us to Christ and helps us to acknowledge him as Lord. We ask that you will send your spirit now to give us deeper insight, encouragement, faith, and hope through the proclamation of the Easter gospel. Amen.
Amen. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. That never gets old. And not just because you're like puppets that I can make dance, but because of the truth in those words, the power in those words, because of what's possible, because those words are true. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. Today, Easter Sunday, is our day of triumph. Death has been defeated. Darkness has been put to death. Jesus has been raised from the grave. Today is the day that changed the world forever. Today is the day that makes our faith possible. Today we get to tell our best story, that death did not have the last word, but that Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. And so we turn this morning to that same story one more time. As we do, I'd ask you to do whatever it is that you need to do to listen well to this, our story of triumph. Very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, the women went to the tomb, bringing the fragrant spices they'd prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. They didn't know what to make of this. Suddenly, two men were standing beside them in gleaming bright clothing. The women were frightened and bowed their faces toward the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He isn't here. He has been raised. For remember what he told you while you were still in Galilee, that the human one must be handed over to sinners, be crucified, and on the third day rise again." Then they remembered his words. When they returned to the tomb, they reported all these things to the 11 and all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other woman with them who told these things. Their words struck the apostles as nonsense, and they didn't believe the women. But Peter ran to the tomb. When he bent over and looked inside, he saw only the linen cloth. Then he returned home, wondering what had happened. Is that the end of the reading? The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. That's it? That's where the story of Easter morning ends? That's all we get? That is not how I expected the story to go. I mean, this is Easter. Where are the trumpets and the timpani? Where's the organ with all the stops pulled out? Where are we in our Sunday best? Where's the triumph and the faith? Where's the risen Jesus shining in glory? Where are the disciples coming to believe, standing in the faith, and going to change the world? Where's Easter? This is just confusion and chaos. It's doubt and fear as they run around. The women come to the tomb expecting to find a dead body. Already they've missed so much of what Jesus has told them. They come to prepare it for the burial that they weren't able to do on Friday night. And they find the stone rolled away. How could that have happened? They go in and the body's not there, and they're confused, they're perplexed, they're confounded. And two strange men in bright clothing suddenly appear, maybe angels, who knows? And they're afraid and they bow to the ground. The angels say he's not here. So they leave and they go back to the apostles. The apostles hear what they have to say and they think it's nonsense. The first recorded instance of alternative facts, fake news, right here. Nonsense. And they don't believe. Peter has the sense to run to the tomb, looks in, finds it empty, and comes back still wondering, confused, perplexed by all that has happened. That's And that's where it ends. That's it. That's Easter morning. Where's the triumph? Where's the risen Jesus? Where's the faith of these who are supposed to be the pillars of our church? This is just far too, I don't know, real. It's too authentic. It's too accurate of how our lives actually go. So we gather here on Easter Sunday in our best clothes. We dress our children in adorable new Easter outfits. And by the way, parents, they were adorable, so thank you. We come here and play our best songs with our best instruments. We come, we pulled out all the stops on the piano for Christ the Lord is risen today. And yet, our lives aren't often lived in the triumph of Easter, are they? They're not lived in our Sunday best, on the mountaintop of faith. We live most of our lives in the darkness of that empty grave, confused, wondering. Wondering how it is that we got here. What happened? How do we make sense of our lives and everything that is? We come into the darkness of that empty grave wondering. You find yourself in the emergency room waiting for a doctor to come in with any news at all, waiting, waiting, waiting for anyone to tell you something about what it is that's happening. Hoping against hope, it's not cancer. Trying to lean on your faith, wondering how here of all places you can let go and trust. Or maybe you find yourself in a marriage that's falling apart. Wake up one day not recognizing this person laying next to you. Darkness has entered into your relationship, and you're starting to wonder if you need to get out, if you even could. What would become of your children, of you? What would you do? Where would you go? Who would you even be? Or you find yourself on the other side of loss. Maybe it was a parent, maybe a spouse, maybe a child. And you wonder, where do you go? How do you come back from this? Who are you now? Is it even possible to move on? Is that even the right language? And God, where were you in all this? How could you let this happen? We don't live our lives with the benefit of hindsight. Like the women and the apostles on that first Easter who didn't understand these things because they were in the middle of them, we live our lives in the darkness of that empty grave, in confusion and chaos, doubt and fear, and we desperately need someone to appear in the darkness and proclaim, "He is not here, he is risen."
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Remember what Jesus told you when he was still in Galilee, that the human one must be handed over to sinners, crucified, and on the third day rise again. And on the third day rise again. In the darkness, can we muster the faith to believe the witness of these others, to trust in the word of Jesus, to see this empty grave as a sign that Jesus of Nazareth was dead but has been raised? Because if Jesus has been raised from the dead, just imagine what else might be possible. If God has the power to raise Jesus from death, maybe, just maybe, God has the power to raise me from the dead. Not just to raise me from death, but from all the little deaths, from sorrow, from pain, from disappointment. Jesus has been raised, imagine what might be possible. I had the chance to meet with one of you in my office a number of weeks ago. We had a long conversation catching up on life, and you shared with me, not for the first time, that you're still not sure what you think about all this. That you've lived your life in and around the church, but there are still some parts of the faith that, I don't know, But then you said, but lately I've been sensing an awakening to God's presence within me, and I've found myself often throughout the day just wanting to pray. If Jesus has been raised, imagine what might be possible. There's another one of you I've had the privilege of getting to know over the last year or so. When you first walked through the doors of the church, you were in a pretty rough place. You'd been hurt. You were trying to figure out who you were, where you were going, how you could even get there. A few weeks ago, you said you're still struggling through a lot of that. There are still questions about how you're going to make it, financial questions as well as other ones. But then you said, but I trust him. And I'm so grateful for all that he's given me. And I know he'll continue to provide. If Jesus has been raised, imagine what might be possible. Another one of you was recently telling me a story of driving home one day and suddenly becoming so aware of God's presence with you, of God's love for you, that you had to pull off onto the side of the road and just stop. And sitting there in your car on the side of the road, overwhelmed by the love of God, you vowed to yourself that you were done beating yourself up over the things you don't do well. That you were no longer going to define yourself by the mistakes you've made. That you were going to stop beating yourself up over your faults. And that you were going to start seeing yourself the way that God sees you. A child of God. A beloved one who is worthy and enough. Jesus has been raised. Imagine what might be possible. So I made a new friend over the last few weeks. 30, still making friends, so there's hope. Don't worry. We can call her Wendy this morning. Wendy works at a church. She's not a pastor, but she works at a church in Canada, actually. She's part of a group I've been with over these last few months, part of faith walking that we talk about here every once in a while. A group of pastors considering our own discipleship and growth as followers of Jesus. Wendy grew up on a farm. Family of four, she was the youngest daughter, had an older brother. And growing up, Wendy wanted nothing more in life than to go out with her father and work in the fields with him, to learn how to care for the animals, to go out and bond with her father over a long, hard day's work. But day after day, year after year, following dinner in the evening, her father would push his chair back from the table and invite her brother out with him to do the evening chores. Wendy was left to clean up after dinner and tend the house with her mother. One day she got up the courage to ask her father if she could go out and help too. And he said, no, that's work for your brother. You need to be here and help your mom. And this pattern continued in their life. When the time came, her brother inherited the farm. He actually expanded it. He's become quite successful. Her father still glows with pride when he talks about his son and what he's done with the farm. And Wendy was left with a wound that was never tended, that was never bandaged, a hole that was never filled but just grew and grew. What she learned early on in life was that she wasn't enough. That she wasn't able to do the work she wanted to do, that she was never going to belong in the circle she was in, that at any moment someone was going to discover that she was a fake, a fraud, who wasn't really supposed to be doing what she was doing and needed to go back inside and help her mother. Over the weeks of our group, Wendy was able to share part of this and some of those stories. And one of those weeks, she was able to make a bit of a connection. She was talking about how crippling it was to prepare for this panel she was presenting in with all other pastors. She connected it back to all these other stories in her life. And someone asked her what it would be like to instead see herself as Christ sees her. As Christ, for whom he died and rose again for her. As Christ's beloved, who was made whole and made new. Last week we had our last meeting, and Wendy came back after that panel she was on. It was like she was a different person. She was glowing and giddy. And when she had her chance to share, she said, "I can't even begin to explain what the freedom I now feel feels like. It's like there was an immense weight on my shoulders that I didn't even know was there that suddenly got taken off, and I'm free. I want everyone to know what this freedom feels like, to know themselves as Christ knows them. If Jesus has been raised, imagine what else might be possible." On that first Easter, the women entered into that grave in darkness, confused by what they'd found. When they told the 11 apostles, they thought it was nonsense. They didn't believe. But Jesus has been resurrected. And in time, they do come to meet the risen Christ. They come to believe the witness of these two men in glowing clothes. They remember the words Jesus has spoken throughout the time they've been together, and their lives and the world will never be the same. Faith takes more than seeing. Faith goes deeper than knowing. Will you come this morning to believe the witness of so many? Will you trust in the word of Jesus? Will you come today from your darkness through the empty grave and into the light of the resurrection? For if Jesus has been raised, imagine what else might be possible. If God has the power to raise him from the dead, what might God be doing in your life even now? The songs of triumph were faint on that first Easter morning. But they have been growing and growing as Christians have joined their voices to the chorus of witnesses. Will you today add your voice to that chorus? The grave is empty. Death has been defeated. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia. Alleluia and amen. Let us pray.